hear my son down there. He got upset with me during worship a few times. He's aggressive. Likes to move and groove. Now he's wanting to go downstairs instead of just going back to the window. So I want to share a few things. And just to recap from last week, I felt the Lord really strongly last week. And I spoke some. I really just shared our spirit-filled heritage and what the Lord has done. And it was kind of capped, in my opinion. I think Andrew's prayer at the end. I appreciated that. She told me her heart was burning, and that's what I wanted. The Lord was here, and someone else shared something with her on a very similar vein. And those things require a corporate response. There was really something. The Lord was here in a really strong way, I felt. I just wanted to acknowledge that. He really was, and I think the Lord's doing some good things. I'm going to share some on that this morning. I'm going to try my best to kind of drop what the Lord's put in my spirit this week. Sometimes He puts things in my heart and in my spirit, and this week it may have been more for me than anything, but I'm just going to share what I have and share what I feel like I can share up to a point. I want to continue with the book of Acts, though, and I want you to just hear my heart this morning. It's going to be in Acts chapter 6, and we spoke last week, just to recap, Acts chapter 7, I'm going to start in chapter 6, about Stephen and how Stephen wasn't one of the apostles. He was just a deacon, and a deacon, really, diakonos, it's a servant. Look at it, a deacon in Scripture and a function in a church. Deacons are really their servants. Yet it says at the same time, he was full of faith and power and did great wonders and signs among the people. And I spoke some just a little bit. I didn't want to get into they believe this, we believe that, because I can't stand that. But something along the lines of why we believe that God still moves today through us and how He can. And we looked at some church history and recent church history. I mean, just one story off the top of my head, William Branham in the 60s. And we just got done with Ananias and Sapphira, and the lady was in his meeting, and she rejected Christ, and she actually died in the meeting. And he took her out, and he laid hands on her, and she rose from the dead. I said, that was in the 60s. That wasn't terribly long ago. That's our heritage in the Spirit, right? And so I can't, in my life, I know my hunger's increased. I can't settle for less than something like that, right? And I continue to press and push and prod towards the Lord to see His best. And so I want to continue to look some about that as best I can this morning. If you look in Acts chapter 6, and we spoke about that, Stephen got in trouble. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen preached a sermon that got him killed. So he must have done a good job, right? Got taken to the woodshed, I saw before it came Paul. And so it says in there that he actually went to the synagogue, charged with the temple. In verse 9, it says, there arose some from the synagogue of the freedmen disputing with Stephen. It says, and I love this, it said, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. You know what? I share this too. Who you are sometimes can speak more than what you say, actually. You're able, through relationship with the Lord, you're able to carry, that's where authority comes from, and you're able to carry something sometimes that speaks more powerfully than the words you can say, and they couldn't withstand the spirit by which he spoke and the wisdom. But went on, and it said, because they couldn't withstand that, it said they induced men to say, secretly induced men to say, we've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God, and they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they seized him, brought him to the council. They set up false witnesses who says, this man has not ceased to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. It kind of reminds me of politics in some ways today, unfortunately. And sometimes we just get so argumentative, and so they do things like that. So Stephen was put before the council, and he preaches, in my opinion, just a wonderful sermon, and it goes back, and I was speaking about Peter probably a month or two ago. I don't think he got up in the morning and was expecting to do this, but it was already in him. You always have that dichotomy when a minister, prepare a law or just go up there and see Lord gives out, you know, you prepare your life. It goes back to that, right? And so every day it's a life thing. It's prepare my life. I minister out of my life. All of us minister from our lives and from our hearts. But he brings up some guys in this sermon. I'm going to briefly go through them. And then I'm going to go to the book of Jeremiah and the book of Luke. And what the Lord put in my heart, something about wineskins this morning. And there's an excellent Jeremiah 48, and I think it's in Luke chapter 5 as well. And I just kind of want to share my heart as best as I feel like I can this morning on that. But he starts off and he goes through Abraham. And there's a significant thing in this sermon. He's preaching to men who probably know the scriptures, the Old Testament, better than he did. And so it wasn't that he was just telling them, well, you don't know this, now say this, but he was drawing on a pattern. If you look at each guy he brought up, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, think about their rejection. All of those guys in all those situations, there was something in common, and that they were able to do something there, forsake all and follow the Lord. I remember there used to be I don't know why I remember this, years and years ago, youth group, this church says, go against the flow, one of these cheesy Christian things where you've got the fish going. Oh, my wife has the shirt, so you can go one way and all the mean fish are going the other way or whatever. I thought it was a little corny, but my wife likes it, so some of the Christianese stuff is. But they had that, and what all these men had in common is there was something in their spirit, something in their hearts. When everything said, you know, you should just stay put and stay comfortable and be where you are, something was within them driving them to say, I'm going to go against the flow when I feel everything's coming at me this way, and I'm going to go this way. I'm going to briefly go through a couple things, just a couple points that we're going to take communion. Let me get through these men real quick. And first of all, let me say this. All of these men here, it's going to be a type of Christ. And at the end game is that they rejected Christ, just like they rejected the Christ in these men, but they also rejected Stephen. And so we're his ambassadors. As he is, so are we in this earth. Okay? So they did reject. They were rejecting Christ in type. They were rejecting Stephen. They put him to death. Because there's something within him. So in Abraham, it says, and I'm not going to go through his whole story. I'm just going to briefly skim it. It drives me crazy sometimes because there's so much to teach in here. But it says in verse 3, and we all know this from Genesis chapter 12, it says, get out of your country and from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. One of the men I sat under a lot growing up, he preached just a masterful sermon on the seven separations of Abraham, and I'm not going to preach that. But the first one was basically from your land and you're from your country, from everything you're familiar with. There's an element of you know, the surroundings and the comfort that I have. It can't prohibit me from moving on and pressing into God. And Abraham had something in him that comfort. I'm going to speak some about this in a minute. Sometimes if you're, and I want you to hear my heart, don't take the words from my spirit. There's something called a dissatisfied satisfaction. In other words, I'm satisfied in the Lord. I have joy in the Lord. I'm content in all things. But while I'm satisfied, I'm dissatisfied because I want more. Right? Amen. And so there's an area where I can, if you're ever in a place, I know for me, and I'm going to speak more about this later, and I find myself very comfortable with everything that I know about God. I think it was C.S. Lewis. Grief Observed. Don't read that book unless you're prepared because it's somber. But he says sometimes God has to shatter our image of Him. And sometimes in our lives, if I find myself in a really comfortable place with God, a really comfortable place in my life, a really comfortable place with my friends, anywhere I am, and I'm talking about our spiritual selves right now, sometimes that could be a wake-up call, okay? Comfort is good, but I can't say I'm comfortable, so I'm just going to rest on my laurels and my walk with God. Amen. And Abraham had something in him. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what the end game is, but the Lord said go, and I'm going to go. He didn't always get it right the first time. He had to wait till his father died to really move on and press in, but there was something in him that had a desire to go and to move forward into the Lord. It also goes through Joseph in verse 7, 9 through 6. Two things that the Jewish folks here did not like that Stephen did is that he was going against their law. You remember Jesus came, he says, You have said it, but I say it. He always contradicts that. I'm showing you a better way. He came to present a new covenant. And so one thing they do against the law and against the temple. And so one of their things is that as much as you're in the temple, you're not with the Lord. They begin to make an idol and a worship of the temple. Basically things and functions and foundations of where they were and where they'd been. And I love it in verse 9. It says, the patriarch's remembrance, but God was with him. One of the things about Joseph that was in him that set him apart, in my opinion, that why Stephen used them. So remember he had the dream? And they called him you dreamer. They didn't like him, but there was something within him. His brothers wanted to hold him back from what the Lord had put within his heart and spirit. He was a young man, so he foolishly shared something in his heart he possibly shouldn't have shared. But there was something with him, despite all else. He was in Egypt, away from everything, and the Lord put him in an environment. Took him away from his family, from his homeland. Joseph's a beautiful story. There's I forget how many chapters in Genesis are devoted to him for good reason. But there was something within him that pushed on and pressed in. Amen. Even the fact that he was put in prison, he kept his spirit right. He kept his heart pure. Okay? Sometimes the hardest thing in the world is when someone throws you wrongfully in prison, or you find yourself in a place you don't want to be, or you don't know why you're there, and you keep your spirit pure before the Lord. I was speaking to someone about that this week. But he was a picture of that, and he didn't deal with externalities. God was with him wherever he went. And with Moses and Acts, I'm just skimming through these, and I'm going to get to the other chapters that I really want to speak about. In verse 21, it speaks about Moses. And let me read verse 20. It says, at this time Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God. I love that. And he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her son. So what does that mean about Moses? He was brought up the best of the best in the palace, right? It says, when Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and deeds. Moses had it made, right? he really had it made. But there was something within his heart, even if he moved on a little early. It says when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart. Remember I spoke about your heart. Guard your heart. The drive of your spirit, the drive of your heart. When he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And anyways, they ended up rejecting him. But there was something in Moses where he was willing to forsake a great future. All these great things. There was something in him that said, you know what? I can't choose to just be comfortable and rest my laurels here. God's put something in my spirit. He's put something in my heart, and I'm going to go anyways. Right? Paul was like that too. He says, I'm bound by my spirit, even though chains were awaiting him. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was lowercase s. He said, I'm bound by my spirit. What's in your spirit and your heart that's driving you in God? Amen. Is there anything there that is? Should, okay? Go after God with all that. And he goes on and he talks about the rejection and he says he actually gave up a kingdom so he could produce the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 39 or 7 verse 39 through 41, it goes on and talks about how they forsook it. It's in the wrong chapter. 37 through 39. And 39 it says, in their hearts they turned back to Egypt. And they said, make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has come of him. And they end up worshiping, in verse 41, that which was made out of their own hands. Okay? My heart this morning, we're going to look in Luke chapter 5. It's about wineskins. And I'm going to share just some of it that the Lord gave to me. And we're going to look at that in Luke chapter 5. Go ahead and turn with me to Luke chapter 5, actually. Luke chapter 5, verse 36. Actually, verse 33. I was listening this week as you turn there. There's a gentleman, some of you would know who he is, and he was sharing and ministering. It actually wasn't a sermon or anything. It wasn't this big deal he was making. It was just something he was saying in passing in a message he was giving. And this is a credible guy. And he was speaking, and it struck me hard. Because I never heard him say it. He's down from my neck of the woods in North Carolina. And he was saying, you know, I think the, or nation, our next great move of God, he said, I really believe that's going to be in New England. And he just kept going. That just it stuck in my heart. And he kept going. I was speaking some with Brad on Tuesday. I spoke some with Aaron about a similar thing. And whatever the Lord does, whatever it looks like, and the area that he's put all of us in right now, I want to be a part of it, right? And so God uses people. He uses individuals, and he works in us as people. But he loves to use bodies. God always operates through bodies and different ministries and different localities have different purposes and different areas. And so I always say, you know, if you don't like our church, I'll help you find another one. Someone says to a franchisee, he may have something that you prefer, but because we're called to be part of the body of Christ, and so the Lord uses that in different areas. So I say that to say he works in us individually, but he also works with us corporately, right? And sometimes what you find, and this is a healthy thing, is sometimes the Lord works similar ways in our hearts and lives, depending on the particular body or family that you're called to be a part of in that season of your life. And that's a healthy and a good thing. The Lord chooses to work like that, right? And I would do well independently by my nature, but when I operate like that in the Lord, it messes me up. And I can't do it. And so we're all tied together corporately. And I just felt the Lord doing something. I was speaking some with Brad and Aaron both, and they both shared something that I already felt similar. He says that, you know, what I feel, and I'm going to share what I feel like I can, that the Lord's doing here in this house and in this body, and what he's been doing, is shaping and preparing, I'm going to explain it a little bit more later, new wine skin, a skin that can hold new wine, right? And sometimes he makes shifts and changes and he does different things. But the reason he does that is so you can be elastic and stretch and hold what he does, right? And so if the Lord wants to do, and this is a man I respect. Again, he's from my neck of the woods, but he's an international prophetic guy. And I've heard other people say that. If the Lord's going to do a major thing in New England, which I bear witness to that too, I want to be a part of that. And I believe that the Lord wants this church and this house and this body and this area to be a part of that as well, right? I don't want it to bypass this area because you're not prepared to take what the Lord's doing, okay? And sometimes when the Lord prepares and he does things in our hearts and our lives, he does things in our body, church body, you can look at that in the natural and say, I don't like that, it doesn't feel good. But if I look at it if I have my spiritual glasses on, and I can see, I can say, well, I always say this, you know. Andrew says, too, I never waste any moment, any bad, anything that happens, because I recognize that as I do that, and as I embrace the Lord and I engage with what he's doing, he's setting me up for what's in the days ahead, right? And I have to continue to move and walk in that, but I have to embrace where I'm at right now. I was listening to a guy, Robbie Zacharias. Some of you probably know him. He's just a gift to the body of Christ. I want to write the guy and just tell him that, because he's just a gift. he's very solid theologically, but he's just, I feel like I'm an idiot when I listen to him. Like, man, this guy uses, but he's just so gracious. But I was listening, he does these Q&As with really unbelievers and skeptics, and there's a guy with him, and I love to just hear the questions, and one guy asked a question, I wrote it down, because I would forget it. Says, if the transformative power of Jesus is so great, the only way to live an abundant life, why do we not see more Christians living this transformative life? I'll read it again. This is a question from someone, probably an unbeliever. If the transformative power of Jesus is so great, and the only way to live an abundant life, why do we not see more Christians not living this transformative life? And he asked a question. It was one of Robbie Zacharias' partners, the guy who runs it in Europe. I don't know his name, but I like him as well. And he kind of smiled, and he said, "Go." He said, "I want you to get the addresses of all the hypocrite Christians you know, so I can pay them a visit, just to be funny." And everyone started laughing. I thought it was funny. I guess if you listen to it, it would be. But basically, the idea. So if this is so great, what you're talking about, why don't I see it? And he shared something. It was Martin Luther King Jr. when he was in prison in Birmingham, Alabama, and he was a minister, as you know, and he wrote something, and he said, this is back in the 60s, I guess. It says, what the church is espousing with its lips, people aren't seeing it from the fruit of their life. And he says, what's happening is we're producing a nation that's become disillusioned with the church, which is to me a very prophetic statement by this man back in the 60s and sitting in jail. Because I want to say what happens. I evaluate my life and I said, you know, do I have joy? Is there fruit of the Lord in my life? Not just the fruit, but am I operating in the way like the guys I spoke about last week, right? Everyone I'm laying hands on, am I seeing them healed and recovered? Am I doing this? Am I doing the supernatural? But I am also seeing the fruit in my life, right? If I'm not, it means there's room to grow, okay? I grew up, one of my favorite shows is The Andy Griffith Show. I don't like it. The main character, to me, is not Andy Taylor, it's Barney Fife. And anyone watch that show? Yes, I figure. So Barney Fife, you can't do Andy Griffith if you don't have Barney. And they did have it at the end, but just wasn't the same. But I remember one episode, Barney Fife was a little wiry guy, very short, skinny, and he had to grow for some reason, so he had this thing where he was going to stretch himself. So how painful it was, he was trying to grow. And it's a comical example about what we do. So sometimes in the spirit, in some area of my life, if I'm open to the Lord and he shows it to me, I can say, Lord, I might be miniature in this area. I might be Barney Fife. I might be 120 pounds soaking wet, 5 feet tall, and I need to grow in that area. But sometimes when he starts to stretch us to grow because we need, it can kind of, I don't like that. And I say, I'd rather just stay the way I am. You know, that hurts too much. And it's a good example. I have a lot of room to grow, right? And why am I on this? Why is the Holy Spirit emphasizing this? It's because I believe that me, and believe that you, I want to be part of everything that God has in this last day revival move of God. I want to be a part of that, right? Amen. And I want my heart, I don't want to just be a little part. I want my life to be prepared and full for the whole deal. That's what I do today. It's what I do tomorrow. It's what I do 5, 10 years from now. And so I have to engage in that because I want to go, I want to be 100-fold, right? Amen. I don't want to say I'm 30-fold and I'm comfortable and I'm happy. Please don't stretch me. I want to be 100-fold, right? I want all that the Lord has. And so I believe the Lord at times, He prepares and He positions individuals and bodies. And if you look at it this way, even regions, to be able to contain and hold what the Lord wants to pour out, okay? So we're going to look in, if you're already there, Luke chapter 5, verse 33 through 37. And I'm reading verse 33 and 35 to give you context. And it says, they said to him, John's disciples fast frequently and pray. So do the disciples of the Pharisees, but your disciples eat and drink. Jesus said to them, you cannot make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them. But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and in those days they will fast. Verse 36, then he spoke a parable to them. It says, no one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wines into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, so they're both preserved. And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires the new, for he says the old is better. Real quick, and I want to say this too, I understand context here as far as Old and New Covenant. I understand that, but there's a continual, if you understand what he was saying with the wineskins, that should be a continual process for us, right? I am a new creation, but we've talked, I'm also told to put on the new man, right? It means so judicially I can have all I need in God, but there comes a point in time where I can say I have it all, but I still have to walk in it until it becomes expressed in my life, right? And so context, one thing they were doing is the disciples, John's disciples, the Pharisees, they would fast every Monday and Thursday. And so they would get upset. If you've ever fasted and seen someone eating, why in the world are you eating, man? You should fast too, right? And that's a natural thing. And so that kind of goes along with what these guys are like, hey, we do this every Monday and Thursday. He's not doing it. You guys are supposed to be spiritual, but we're the ones who are doing it. Why aren't you guys doing it? And Jesus, he gives them, he talks about, he compares it to a wedding. And in those times, the wedding, while the Lord's with them, I love sometimes going into historical context, because what happened when a bride and groom would get married, they would take them and put them in a house to themselves. Sometimes they would actually dress up like a king and queen, and for that 1 week, they would never have it again. For that 1 week, they literally looked like kings and queens in a house to themselves. And Jesus says, you've made a form and a ritual out of something. I've come to give you joy. And so if you consider our life with Christ like that, Jesus was opposed to the rule of the law because I have to. It became something because I wanted to, right? And so those days they would leave. And so now I can say you will fast. And I can say if I'm doing a three-day fast, it's a three-day date with the Lord, right? Because my heart, my attitude, my spirit's changed. And so they were questioning it and wondering it. And Jesus goes on to say, basically, your mindsets are old. You're doing things out of tradition. What's it? I think in Mark chapter 5, you've made the word of God of no effect through the vain traditions you've handed down. So is fasting good? Yes. They'd made it a vain, repetitious tradition, and it became worthless and useless. And Jesus says, I came to give you joy. I want you to fast, right? But you do it with joy in your hearts, right? Okay? And so they're doing that. But something with wineskin that I read that's fascinating. I can find where I had it in here. Okay, what they would do, they would take an animal. So you take a goat and you chop him off, but you would keep his neck and you would skin it and you would keep the wineskin basically. You actually pour from the neck. It sounds kind of gross. But you would take a new wineskin and you would put the wine in there. If it was a new wineskin, what would happen is it was expandable. Okay? It had room to grow. It could handle a lot. It could grow. It could expand. It was adjustable. It was flexible. It was able to move and function and flow. But after about over a year or so of that wineskin being like that, it will grow brittle and hard and old. And so what would happen, I mean, if you read it, common sense, you pour it in, it would lose all elasticity and it would burst. And you'd use the wine and you'd lose the wineskin. And I've heard someone say this before, and this is a challenge my heart. And it's like a place of work. You know, James is an apprentice, and a good boss is going to bring you up slowly to understand what you're doing. A good boss isn't going to put him on the biggest job you have right away. Why? Because I'm not going to trust him with that because he's new. He would screw up what he was doing. He'd cause our business problems. He'd do all these things. But as you grow and as you season, you keep things moving and flowing and functioning, I'm able to entrust you with more, right? And so if my wineskin hasn't been changed, my paradigm, my heart and mind, my wineskin has not been changed in years, maybe what the Lord wants to pour out, remember in Acts 2, so they're drunk with new wine, speaks of output. Maybe the outpouring of the Spirit the Lord has, he says, I can't really pour it in him because if I do it, he's going to just bust. The wine is just going to be a lost cause. I'll find Mary right here, who's been constantly shifting and keeping vessel to vessel. I'm going to read Jeremiah 48 in a minute to give more context to it. But someone who's been moldable and shapeable, she's someone that if I pour all that I want to do in my new wine into her, she's got a capacity to grow, right? She's got a capacity to hold it, okay? And Jeremiah, don't turn here. I'm just going to read it to you. In Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 11 through 12, speaks about Moab and says, Moab has been at ease from his youth. He has settled on the lees. He has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remains in him, and his scent has not changed. That's speaking about wine. It goes on and says, therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I shall send him wine workers who will tip him over, empty his vessels, and break his bottles. Moab. Okay. Moab was a place that was known for its vineyards. Okay. And what you would do in that time, and stay with me. I don't know if I'm giving a lot or not, but just stay with me. What you would do if I had two bottles and had wine, after a while it would settle in, because it sells on its lees, and it became contaminated. And so if I kept my wine in this wineskin for too long and I didn't go from vessel to vessel, the way you get impurities out, if you pour it from this one to this one, so what would happen? The impurities would stay in here, and it would be fresher and sweeter in this one. Okay? If I kept it here the whole time, it actually, what it means, Elise, is actually it means bile contaminated. B-I-L-E, became nasty. So it says, your sin has not changed. If I am not going in, it has to constantly flow vessel to vessel. It sounds like faith to faith, right, in the New Testament. Glory to glory, strength to strength, vessel to vessel. And it says, his scent has not changed. Has your scent in the Lord changed? Individually, as a corporate body, there should be change in your life. Okay? There should be change in any church. There should be change in any person, anything you do. If I'm looking at James now, I'll brag on you, actually. I wasn't playing on it. I've seen a lot of change and growth in him since I've known this man. Actually, I have, in a really good way. I have. Okay, that's healthy and productive. It means he's been emptying from vessel to vessel. So I'm pouring out. I'm willing to be, Lord, I'm willing for you to change me and shape me, because the impurities stay here and I become fresher and newer. If I look at him in 3 years and I say, James, in the Spirit, your scent hasn't changed. You're no better than you were 3 years. Same place. Everything's pretty much the same with you. Let's keep you going. If that's the case, that poses questions like that guy asked Robbie Zacharias. If the Christian life is so transformative, if it's so wonderful, why don't I see it, right? So it puts an onus on me as a people and as a church to continually to be changed from vessel to vessel, okay? All right? Vessel to vessel, glory to glory. I was reading in somewhere, actually, let me just give you this little fact too, in Ruth, remember Naomi, Ruth and Orpah, they came from Moab, same place. Orpah stayed behind in Moab, right? So there's a place you go where you don't want to change, okay? I need to change in the Lord, right? I could be, if I'm 8 in one area, there's still 2 more to 10, right? I might be a lousy other. I still need to change. I need to grow, right? And I want to, it says, his sin has not changed. And what actually happens, it says, therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I shall send him wine workers who will tip him over and empty his vessels and break his bottles. So what he's actually saying here is they're getting ready to go into captivity because Moab was at ease. They had prosperity, very good things. One thing the guy was saying, and Robbie Zacharias' partner, he says, one thing I found, he's a British guy, he says, when I go to other parts of the country, maybe like Peru, Phil, where you go, or other places where the gospel, you can get in trouble for just being a Christian. He says, I usually find the expression of the church there much more beautiful. It's a much more beautiful expression of who Christ is. They know who they are more. Sometimes uncomfortableness in our lives can be a good thing, right? In the Spirit, what I'm speaking of, okay? The satisfied satisfaction. And if that happens, it says, who will tip him over and empty his vessels and break the bottles. Sometimes, as the saying goes, don't upset the apple cart. I think when Jesus came, he upset the apple cart for all the folks who wanted to stay the same. Did he not? I think in our lives, I'm born again, say Spirit-filled, but he's still going to upset the apple cart with me. And sometimes when I think I've got it all together, he will tip something over, right? Just like in here, he tips me over and he empties my vessel. I say, I don't want you to empty my vessel. It must be this, it's not good, it's not that. Sometimes that's the Lord rattling your chains a little bit. Why? Because he knows the impurities need to go. He knows that the wineskin has to expand because he sees... The Lord is always redemptive. He always speaks to our future prophetically, right? He deals with our past redemptively, but he speaks to our future prophetically. So he's dealt with my past because I'm looking, so I see James right here. And the Lord says, remember that word Joanne gave you when she was here with your family? I think it was whoever it was. That was the Lord, man. And so someone like this gets a powerful word from God that God's going to do this stuff through him, which I bear witness to. And I watch the man change and grow. So he's... time I've known you, he's been emptied from vessel to vessel, changed. Make your wineskin as new. Lord, continue to give me new wineskins so I can pour new wine. Why is that? Because if the Lord's going to entrust him with the salvation of his family, what does he have to do in him? He can't say, you know what, I'm saved, I'm comfortable, I don't really want to move in a different direction with the Lord, I'm fine where I am. He's going to start to do something in him, right? And shift him. Change is good, right? Sociologists in the natural, they'll study it, and it's like a phenomenon. They don't understand it. People are more afraid of change in their lives than they are a negative consequence of something they know they're going into. You know, so that could be an alcoholic father, and you know, sometimes that can be a big thing to just break that family line because it becomes so familiar and so comfortable. And I would rather have what's comfortable with me, I don't have to change, than deal with the fear of change. I took a leadership class when I was in college, and he said the greatest fear people have is fear of change, right? In our lives, I hope this is sinking in. I trust it is. Because some of us, I feel like, need it. I feel like it's a healthy thing. Any church should change in time. It should. If a church, there's a good, godly man of God, I know him, and you have no idea who he is, and I would never tell you because I don't want to be that way. But if you go there, it feels like you're in 1982. Just the songs, everything. And you ask, when did this church found it? 1982. Okay. And I'm not putting that, but sometimes we have to, the Lord, let me say this. Martin Luther got in a lot of trouble for saying the just shall live by faith, right? Okay. The Anabaptist, remember we baptized James, Sean up here. Anabaptist, when they first taught that, baptism by immersion, they were killed for that. They were put underneath water until they didn't come up. And they suffered. Why is that? Because the Lord continues to move us forward into his purposes and what he's doing. He continues to shift us and change us. And I guard my heart and I say, you know what? Lord, I don't want to resist what you're doing. I don't want to resist who you are. There's a man of God. I think I've shared this through before. He's a Bible teacher. Dr. Buskey. He's retired. He's pastored the Methodist church for years. He had us. Filled with the Spirit, pastored a charismatic church for years, and now he's retired down in Florida. And he said, my one prayer has always been this. And he said, I believe God's answered it. He said that I'll always be able to stay current with what the Lord is doing and speaking in his church and body at large, wherever I am. You know what? Sometimes God might meet you in a way they didn't meet you in 20 years ago. I even struggle with that. I actually do. Sometimes I expect it. Okay, God, you have to meet me this way. Lord, I have to do this. When I sing this song, this will happen. When I do this, this will happen. When I do this, this will happen. Sometimes the Lord will shift that up. One of the worst things we do is when we try to mimic an old revival. And I say, you know what? God moved that way there then. So let me try to do that. We were in Bible school. I'm wrapping up. I'm going to take communion. It was a week of prayer. We start each year with a week of prayer. And we had worship that was unbelievable. It was amazing. And so what they did, the next week, they got the same worship team to try to mimic the same thing that happened the week before and plan it out pretty quickly. Because I need to be in season with the Lord. Maybe that was even good for last week, right? But I continually say, Lord, you're speaking this to me now. You're speaking this. You're speaking this. You're saying this. You're doing this, okay? And I'm not saying it's some crazy thing. I'm saying everything. I've said this before. You always line up with the scriptures and everything. You have your foundations in Christ. Amen. But the Lord constantly says, you know what? Maybe I want to meet you this way. Maybe I want to touch your heart this way. Maybe I want to speak to you this way. You know, God's spoken to me through people before that I wouldn't have wanted to receive from. Maybe it's someone he wants to speak to you from this way that you have to deal with this. Okay? And be adaptable. Okay? And move and function and flow. Make sure my wineskin is expandable and I'm being poured out from vessel to vessel. I have something in here. I'm going to wrap up with this. For some of us, I'm just going to make it completely practical right now. Some of us, maybe we need to take the Lord more seriously. Some of us, maybe we take him too seriously. I shouldn't say that. Let me say it this way. Don't take the words from my spirit. take them seriously. Sometimes, this is the best way to put it, my tendency is I can get religious with how I meet God. Let me put it that way. And I have certain times, certain ways, certain things, and sometimes God breaks that mold on me. He did that to me this week, actually. I'm very regimented with what I do with the Lord. Very, very regimented. Very disciplined. And one time this week, I was in the midst of something, and the Lord told me, I just want you to go downstairs right now. This is just me, okay? I had made a form and a religious and a habit. Just like these guys, they end up worshiping the temple rather than the God of the temple, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I mean by that. I don't want to... I appreciate the laugh, but immediately it's like I shouldn't have said that. You know what I mean. Sometimes the Lord shifts us in things. We need to be flexible, right?
Amen.
He expresses us. Sometimes it's more spirit, sometimes more of the Word. Smith Wigglesworth, he wasn't honored and celebrated in his day. God looks for people who are willing, like these men that Stephen preached about, who are willing to say, like a Martin Luther, like a guy, like I just said, Smith Wigglesworth, who everyone didn't love him in his time and in his day, who's willing to say, Lord, you know what? Put something in my spirit for you. You know, I'm accountable to others. I do all these things, but you put something in my spirit. I don't care if this guy tells me you need to put here. He said, put here in God. I put it in my spirit, and I'm going after you and the Lord. God looks for these, all these men were reformers. Martin Luther was a reformer, right? Say reformer. God used them to completely shift mentality. So now it's just shall live by faith to get you killed. Now it's basic doctrine in any Bible-believing church, the just shall live by faith. It took a reformer to say, I'm going to go on this earth and this is going to happen. What's God going to do in the days ahead? Man, I don't know completely. I don't have all the answers to it. But as he puts something in, maybe he moves in a way you don't see or not knowing or understanding, but he's put something in your spirit, and I say, you know what? I want to be like Abraham. He says, you know what? I'm going to go out and step out in faith in the spirit where God's called me to in the spirit. Someone has said this, I think it might have been Bill Johnson. He says, I seek God in private and I take risks in public. Step out in what God's called you to do and be, right? Be a reformer. Say, you know what, Lord? Keep my wineskin fewer. Continue to make me uncomfortable in the spirit because that's a good place to be. Keep me growing and moving and changing in my life with God because I should see change in my life. If I'm ever going from year to year and I don't have change, that's a problem. New birth, a new creature, new man, new tongues, new commandment, new spirit, new covenant, new heavens and a new earth. New. We are new creations, but put on the new man. Don't worship the past. I've had a great past that, as young as I looked, that was over 20 years ago. I can't go back and relive that. I build on that. And I say, you know what? I can't, what for my wills to go back to that? God, what do you have that's fresh and new for today and for tomorrow? Lord, shape in my wineskin, Lord, in my heart, in my life. Lord, expand the wineskin here in this church. I am a new wineskin. I carry new wine. And Lord, so I can contain and hold all that you want to do. Because in my heart, God spoke this to me. And I'll share just a part of it. It's what God's doing in my life. But I also believe it's what he's doing in this church. Because I've said this before. I look at it in the spirit. And I always try to look long term. I believe what that man said. As far as the move of God in this area, I believe it. Whether it looks like what I think it should look like, whether it looks like this or that, I think the Lord wants this church to be a part of that, right? Right in the middle of it, actually. Maybe the reformers to start it, right? Why not? Why in the world not? Okay, so when he does that, I can embrace the process of, Lord, I want my wineskin to be expandable. Let your prayer be this, just like Dr. Buskey's prayer was, that I say, because it's kind of been my prayer too. Lord, I never want to be so comfortable with what I had in the past that I can't move forward and step ahead of you with what you're doing today. Right? The old song goes, the cloud of glory is moving. Move with the cloud. Move with the cloud. So I'm constantly moving An unchanging God is constantly changing me. Amen. Let that be our prayer. We're going to take communion. Peter, Andrew, if one of you, Peter, can you come up and play a song, brother? And Phil and Kevin or Bob, one of you guys want to come up and pass the elements out. We're going to take communion.